actually, there was some talk earlier of a tribute at the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival going on in honor of Warren Hellman and Earl Scruggs and the guy that I'm about to sing about, not named Doc Watson. Yeah. We lost some real good ones this year. Levon Helm's another one. Everett Lilly. There's a long list. But the guy that really did it for me was Doc Watson. Them deep river blue. My old gal's a good old pal. She works like a waterfowl, and I got them deep river blues. Well, there ain't no one to cry for me. The fish all go out on a spree when I got them deep river blues. Really turned on to Doc's music, and of course, especially his guitar picking. My friends and I, once we agreed that it would take like 20 years of playing the guitar to get a tone like what Doc Watson. Little did we know that those 20 years have come and gone a couple of times over, and I still can't get it right. But Doc Watson just, he put it all together for so many of us. He organized all that gospel music and blues, bluegrass, old time, and jazz. Put it all in one bag. And he did it so deceptively and so excellently. You know, he made it seem like you're just sitting right up beside him on a front porch somewhere in North Carolina, where he's from. Getting me down my old boat, I'll set sail if she floats, cause I got them deep river blues. I'm on down to Muscle Shoals, so times be better there, I'm told, and I got them deep river blues. You know, I got to hang out with Doc just sort of every once in a while, you know, at a gig. I remember one time in Philadelphia at a little coffee house, he and Merle were open. I mean, we were opening the show, Hot Rise was, for Doc and Merle. And before the show, I went downstairs, and Doc was in there in the dressing room next door, and you could hear through the curtain, basically. He was just warming up, singing songs like Working Man Blues and You Are My Flower. We got to play a little bit here and there, little all-festival jams every once in a while. He would invite me on the stage at Merle Fest on his final jam. And he was always very supportive, but he was always, you know, it was like talking to God, Doc Watson. Anyway, I asked him to record with me one time, and he said, I just got too much to do, and I tried him again another time, and he said, it's kind of the same thing, and I kind of started to feel like I should leave him alone, you know, my relationship was what it would be. Still, every once in a while, I'd be passing by North Carolina there near where he lived and wondered, you know, maybe I ought to look him up sometime, see how he's doing. So last February, I was down there in Boone, North Carolina, doing a gig, and he only lives about 10 miles from there. And finally, I called him up, got the nerve. a Sunday morning. Just getting ready to check out a motel, and either I was going to go to Nashville right away, or maybe I could go up and see Doc Watson up at Deep Gap. The snowstorm coming on. Should have headed back to Nashville, but I called up Doc, and he didn't really remember me. His daughter was there, and she said, "Who is that, Daddy?" And he said, "What's your name, son?" I said, "Tim O'Brien." He said, "It's Tim O'Brien." And she said, "Oh, Daddy, that's that fiddle player that plays at Merlefest." He says, "Oh, you're the fiddle player that plays at Merlefest." We both knew he didn't know who I was. Anyway, he told me about getting saved and about meeting his lovely wife, Rosalie, who was at that point in the hospital, still is. Anyway, one thing led to another, and I was invited up to the house. So I get up there. The snow is really coming down. Everything's looking real beautiful and white up there on the Blue Ridge. I finally get to the house, and I pull in there and shut off my car, and I can hear guitar music and singing coming through the kitchen door. It was just Doc. I looked in there, and he was sitting there holding his guitar and singing a little song called "While Roving on a Winter's Night." Waited for that to finish, and it was just perfect the way he played it. And I knocked on the door. He said, "Slide her open. She's unlocked." I went in there. I said, "Doc, it's Tim." And he said, "Oh, come on, sit down, son." I said, "I see you're picking. You want to pick some? Can I get my guitar?" He said, "That'd be fine." So for the next 3.5 hours, just me and Doc and his kitchen there, just hanging out. It was a dream come true. He told me all about growing up there in Deep Gap and all about learning about electronics and auto mechanics. And at one point he started talking about this guitar, a bourgeois guitar. So I'm not talking about a class thing. I'm talking about a guitar made by a guy named Dana Bourgeois. Anyway, he said, "You ever seen that guitar? It's a dreadnought guitar with a cutaway." I said, "Yeah, I think I've seen that guitar." He said, "That was a really nice guitar, but it's just somebody, I had it out of the case one day, and somebody moved the guitar, put it where it shouldn't have been, and I stepped right through that thing." He said, "I was heartbroken. I didn't even want to tell Dana Bourgeois about it, but he found out, and he said, send it back to me, and I'll fix it up." So he put a new top on it, he said, "Now it's even better, I think, than it was before." He kept talking about that guitar. At one point he said, "I think I'll go get that guitar." So he stands up and he reaches behind him for the basement door and opens that door and gets to the top of the stairs. And I'm looking down this steep stairway thinking, oh my God. He's a blind man, almost 89 years old. But you know, he's Doc Watson. He's a man who rewired his own house. He's a man who's, although blind from almost birth, he built his own shed and didn't bend a single nail doing it. He could see, he could hear me thinking, and he turned around and he said, "Don't worry, I'll be careful. If I fall and kill myself, call the veterinarian." He shut that door and hit it down there, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I should check on him now and again. He was down there about 20 minutes, and I'm thinking, didn't hear any crashing or anything. Finally, he comes up the stairs, and he opens up the door, and he's got this guitar case in his hand. He goes back to his seat and sits down, opens up the guitar case, takes it out, plays a lick on it. He goes, "That's not that guitar at all, is it?" He said, "It's a good one, though." Anyway, so I'm really glad I went to see Doc, and If you ever have a question about that in your mind, about going to see somebody that you cared a lot about, don't question it. If that boat sinks with me, I'll go down, don't you see? 'Cause I got them deep river blues. Now it's time to say goodbye. If that boat sinks, just let me die. 'Cause I got them deep river blues. Everybody sing now. Let it rain, let it pour, let it rain a whole lot more, 'cause I got them deep river blues. Let that rain drive right on, let those waves sweep along, 'cause I got them deep river blues. Thank you very much. I'd like to make welcome to the stage my lovely and talented sister, Molly O'Brien, and her lovely and talented husband, Rich Moore.
Thank you. It sounded like you said my lovely and talented assistant, but...
Tim, we've decided we're going to call that portion in the show Hagendoc.
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 That's good. All right, we're going to do a couple of tunes that we know, and me and Rich have been doing a lot of stuff on our own, the two of us. We're having a really great time. We're having large birthdays this year, which I'm not going to tell you how large, but they're large, and we're having a great time going out and playing music and